For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Field EH just tweeted out that the team and Jabril Peppers are finalizing a three-year extension. Just wanted to see if you could confirm that for us.
Yeah. I can't confirm it. I'm the head coach. I can confirm it. All right. So, hey, I will say this. I'll confirm it, but I am very happy, for Peppers and for his family and also for our team and organization. He really embodies everything that we want on the field. You know, he's very selfless. He's out there flying around all the time, and it's good to get that deal done.
There you go. That was Jerod Mayo, part of his extended comments today at training camp. It's Arcand with Mego and Travis Thomas. No Jones here today. We are live in our Ford Clubhouse studio at Fenway Park, and it's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Get going during SUV season by joining the Bronco family or get a great offer on America's best-selling trucks, F-Series, official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Interesting a slew of comments from Jerod Mayo. He covered a lot of different things. I feel like that comment right there inadvertently spoke a little bit to it, as he was like, yeah, right, I'm the head coach. I can tell you what happened. I can confirm it. It's like, yes, Jerod, you are. You can talk. Bill's not here. You can do whatever you want, man. It's your team. Go for it. And there was a little bit more like that, I think, later on in the comments. But let's go ahead and start right there. Jabril Peppers. Mego, I know you're a huge fan of him.
I am.
I like Jabril Peppers. I think he's a perfectly good player. You have one guy, you have two guys actually, squawking loudly about their contracts, and you go out and pay Jabril Peppers, who I don't remember having said much of anything. He's certainly not talking the way Judon and Godchow are,
right.
But he gets paid. Everybody's getting paid except those two guys, it seems like. What do you think of the deal?
So I'm okay with it. I understand I might be coming from a biased perspective because I do love Jabril Peppers. I love his play on the field. I understand he's just a safety, and for the Patriots, it feels like safeties are a dime a dozen at least over the last several
years. No, they're like 8 million a day.
I know. It's like they're not hard to come by, but I do think that he's shown himself to be a strong locker room leader. Maybe you think that doesn't matter. I think it matters when you're projected by USA Today to be a 3-win team.
Right.
You need somebody who's going to keep the competitive level up and going to do that in a way that is authentic, but also, you know, not just like a complete hardo who turns other guys off and is annoying. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, I'm happy for it. I still don't totally understand this agenda of running it back completely with just about every guy on this team and then letting Godchow and Judon just kind of stand off to the side.
Right.
Like, you continue to set the market on your team, essentially,
your safety,
with what you're doing with contracts.
Your safeties are getting $20 million combined, right? Like Peppers and Duggar. Duggar's getting almost 12 a year, right? And this is 8 per, and it could get up higher. So, like, I mean, generously, we're talking $20 million for the two of those guys.
Yeah, particularly Judon. You know, they also have the money to pay everybody.
They do.
If we're just going to retain everyone, in Mego's terms, run it back, cool, then do that, right? If you're not going to be aggressive and go out and get an Ayuk or a T. Higgins or whatever it is, then fine. Then distribute this money to everyone, especially Judon. That's the one I don't really understand. I do get the age factor. I do get, you know, there's a lot of mileage.
What do you mean? What don't you understand?
Well, it appears to me that they are re-signing a lot of younger players, which, duh, you should do that.
Well, if they're good, you should.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, just sign them because they're young. You should sign good players.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. the young good players on this team are getting extensions. They're getting the bag. For the Judon side of things, I do understand if the Patriots' way of thinking is he's older, there's mileage there, could be injury concerns. He's not a guy that has an injury history, but he's coming off of that, so I get it. But at the same time, we see this in this league all the time. If he's an older player, you do have some concerns, then give him a short-term deal and give him the cash he wants. I don't understand the big deal. That's where they lose me with the Judon side of things is on one side of the coin, I get he's older. Maybe they don't want a long-term extension, but my goodness gracious, this guy is a leader. He is productive. He does not have a history of injury. So give him what he wants short term. You can afford it.
Yeah, you definitely can. And if I'm Matthew Judon, and even Devon Godchow, who I think probably has less of a case to get this big extension that he wants here,
right,
as opposed to someone like Judon, who's just been better, I'm watching this. All right, you still got money here. You're still throwing cash around. Jabril Peppers is getting paid. You're paying all the safeties. You're paying all these guys. And me, you're one name that people know. The one jersey that's actually selling in your stupid
the red
shop.
Sleeves.
The red sleeves guy is sitting here twisting in the wind, having to give these little scrums talking about, nah, you know, I don't really feel like this is my value. It's been weird because the Patriots have been doing it for a while. The Celtics season hasn't been over for as long, but since the Celtics season ended, they've re-signed everybody. I mean,
okay,
like,
that's a championship team.
I know.
That makes sense.
It does.
This just come
the
on,
Patriots
guys.
Are doing the exact
this
same
does
thing.
Does not make sense.
The Patriots are doing the same thing the Celtics are doing. It's like why it's like two teams in a mirror.
I don't,
they're retaining everybody,
right.
And one team you'd think won the championship too. They didn't. They won four games last year, and they are retaining everybody and running it back about as hard as I've ever seen anybody run it back, other than the Celtics. And the Celtics won the championship. So, like, what the hell is going on here?
So again, like with Jabril Peppers individually. Happy for him. I think it is worthwhile. But you can go case by case and kind of rationalize a lot of these contracts.
Yeah.
When you look at it as a whole, you've got to ask yourself, is the defense that incredible that you're bringing back all these guys? Have you solved anything on your offensive line? I was a champion for Nwenu to get the contract that he got. And now they're not even going to have him in at tackle at all, it seems like, because he doesn't fit into the AVP system.
They paid him to be a tackle and then kicked
and
him back.
And he's going
to
play guard. And now they're sitting there going, well, like, we don't really know who our tackles are yet. Meanwhile, you have Drake May just, you know, waiting in the wings at some point to come in during the season, and you don't know what your offensive line is. All it to say, it's like you can't even point to the continuity with some of this stuff. And so it really just looks like they're turning and going, well, we got rid of Bill Belichick and we got rid of Mac Jones, and those were, you know, that's where the rot was on the team. And that's not enough.
Yeah.
It's really not enough.
It's like an addition by subtraction. I look at this as maybe they do, to answer your question, feel as though this defense can be elite. So they're going to, you know, pay and invest in that to keep that together.
Just not their elite guy.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah.
And then I think offensively, we're just going to see the youth movement. I mean, clearly, you have your quarterback. And I just think they're just going to keep drafting kids, whether it's on the line, wide receiver, running back, whatever it is. And then they'll figure those contracts up as they come. Not saying it's the right game plan, but that's certainly what it looks like the strategy is.
Yeah, it doesn't look like, I mean, in terms of getting help from the outside anyway. I mean, we saw that the moves that they made, they were all in the periphery, except for maybe the one argument you can make is Jacoby Brissett, because he may be the starter week one, like it's your week one starting quarterback, but he's not really, so I don't really consider it like that. Other guys like Austin Hooper and the running back and, you know, these other guys, like I don't think there's really much there. I didn't think so at the time, and there were guys you could have had that you just didn't want to go the extra mile to try and pay. And that's a little weird, and it's very weird now considering that you still have all this cap space, even with this Peppers signing. I mean, you still, as you said, Travis, have a ton of space. Is it still the most in the NFL, or does this now cut into that? Is there some other team ahead of you? I'll see. Yeah, I don't know if it's been updated.
While you look that up, there is a little news in your division.
Uh-oh.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, it's I don't think we need breaking news sounder for this, but both Rappaport and Garofalo have this. Tua Tagovailoa signs a four-year, $212.4 million extension. So that puts him about in golf territory.
Wow.
I'm shocked.
The golf deal.
I thought for sure they were going to let him walk.
I mean, this sounds crazy to say, but compared to a top 10 quarterbacks, I think that's a reasonable deal for him.
Yeah, that's not terrible. I wonder... I mean, there was a couple of years ago where we all thought maybe Tua wasn't going to play football anymore. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
right.
It wasn't that long ago. And I wonder if any of that's still sort of hanging over this whole thing. Like, there's not another team out there that's going to give him Mahomes money or give him, you know, big time, top of the line.
Goff money feels right.
Goff money, I think, is even maybe a little bit, you know, like Goff, I think, was better than Tua last year.
I'm with
you. Absolutely, but Goff has been on a redemption arc.
Yeah,
the Lions.
Yeah,
it's kind of it's a pretty different situation.
I'm with you. I think this is Tua hit the lottery, and I think this is a reasonable deal for the Dolphins because listen, if you let Tua walk, you can maybe reset and draft a quarterback who's cheap, and maybe that system is good enough, and certainly those weapons we know are good enough that a rookie could have success. But, you know, as far as Tua goes, if Tua goes and gets paid by, let's just say the Raiders for the sake of the conversation, and gets the big money that he was looking for, that everyone knows that's not going to work. I mean, a bunch of this, remember, when Tua had Brian Flores, he looked like he couldn't play in this league.
Mm-hmm. He looked like Mac Jones.
Right, touche. You know, McDaniel shows up, and then it's like, oh, okay, he can play. You just got to keep him upright. So I think it's a win-win for both, but more so for Tua. I know the golf range we look at now with all the money that the quarterbacks get, and we think, well, you know, it's reasonable. But for Tua to get that money in a place where he can be successful, I believe he just hit the lottery.
I am looking at Twitter right now at the Adam Schefter announcement. I guess Athletes First is the one who reported this, or I guess that's the agency. They came out and leaked it to everybody. I had to scroll down about 10 pages before I saw my first Hawk Tua reference, and I think that proves two things. Number one, America's growing up. And number two, this whole Hawk Tua thing maybe is over with. Is it right? Like, I mean, I think it's she had her moment, and it was quite a moment. But I think the Hawk Tua thing is right. I mean, if him getting paid like this doesn't immediately, your replies aren't filled with that with the meme and the hashtag, then it's got to be over, right?
Listen, I don't know how much cap space Hawk Tua has, but I am seeing that the Patriots still have the most cap space in the league, followed by the Commanders and the Cardinals.
Well, that's great. Very good. All right. Well, the Patriots still can make some sort of gesture here towards Matthew Judon. News here about Tua Tagovailoa and signing his big 4-year deal, putting him not in the top tier of quarterbacks, but certainly right up there, as he's not going anywhere in the AFC East for a little while. With more on that and more on what's trending, here's Ryan Garvin.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Adam Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Crazy Town?
I think Crazy Town for sure.
Megan Ottolini.
I love fire.
Christian Arcan.
I love shrooms.
This is Jones and Mega with Arcan.
Let me upgrade you.
On WEEI.
Gotcha. Participated in day one yesterday. We didn't see him until midway through. Came up from the backfield. Didn't seem to do anything. Is that contract related?
No, not at all. Not at all. It has nothing to do with the contract. He had a little bit of tightness, but he's another guy who, you know, you want to reward the players that embody or encompass what we're trying to create here from a cultural perspective. And also, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about wins and losses, and he helps with that.
That was Jerod Mayo giving that answer, and somehow no one seemed to notice that his pants were on fire because he was a big liar. Of course, if it had something to do with the contract. What are you talking about? Oh, no, he just had a little tightness. Really? He had a little tightness? Is that why he said he just wants some respect like 5 minutes after that? Completely contradicting you and your cover fire for him there? Like, come on.
Tightness, like, in his wallet.
Right, exactly. Right. Pretty candid. Judon was candid yesterday. He was candid today. And Godshaw was asked about the why he wasn't there. He says, I just want some respect. Same. Just a little respect. He says, it's frustrating playing with no guaranteed money, but I'm going to put it in Drew's hands. He's talking about Drew Rosenhaus, of course. Mm. He's going to do his best with it. And he said, I'd love to be here, but at the end of the day, it's a business. That doesn't sound like a guy who was out with tightness.
No, it also doesn't sound like a guy who's like trying to endear himself to the team.
No.
The way that, at least,
yeah,
I know we had Tommy Curran on yesterday, and he was saying that he was praising Matthew Judon for having this delicate dance of the way that he's talking about his contract situation and doing it in a way that's kind of good natured. And, you know, I think he already has a pretty good reputation with the media. He won the good guy award.
He also was like, you know, I signed the contract, so I got to honor the thing. I don't want to, but I have to. Godchild's like, I'm not getting respect. We'll see what happens.
Godchild's just saying I want guaranteed money. And that's, hey, you signed a what I used to think was a Belichick contract, which was a lot of bells and whistles and not a lot of guarantees. And now I'm thinking maybe it's just a Robin contract.
Yeah, maybe. Listen, Godchild was someone who Bill said was one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL, okay? Like, he was talking about him like he was Aaron Donald and all these, like, Chris Jones and everybody else. Mm-hmm. Could it be that while Belichick really coveted Judon and Godchild, Gerard Mayo just doesn't think these guys are that good or that impactful or really worthy of anything else, and he wanted to keep the young guys around because he felt like these guys are aging out and we don't need to pay these guys. We have Josh Uche. We don't need to pay this guy. We have Keon White. We have all, you know, Christian Barmore and these other interior linemen. We'll be okay. They can take a walk. Could it be as simple as that? Because it does seem like Gerard Mayo wants to pay everybody except these two.
Well, that's why I keep going back to the veteran thing and the age thing. I mean, we're talking about two guys in their 30s, more so. I know Judon's older, obviously, and definitely has a lot more games on that body. But it's just obvious to me that the Patriots are in a place where it's a youth movement, and particularly on the defensive side where we do see them shelling out this money. I just think if you are a vet, if you are of a certain age, they are not interested in doing that. And that's why I think it's a strategy that someone in there is preaching and they're believing in. I mean, it obviously has to be Elliott Wolf, right? So I just think, you know, the best way to handle it is the way Judon is. I still ultimately do believe he will get a deal, although you could start to think about him as trade bait. I mean, there are teams around this league that would love to have his service.
I don't know.
I think there would be. I don't know how much they'll give you.
I don't think it's worth the value rather than just throwing in a couple million dollars to boost him this year.
I know.
I'm not saying that you have to sign him to some long extension or even a medium couple year extension. I'm saying give him a boost again. Fronted some money last year. Give him a boost this year.
Agreed.
Let's not pretend like this is contracts like you have in a normal workplace.
Right.
Especially when they're not guaranteed on the other side. He's been mostly a good guy here. Just give him the money. Godchild is, like, honestly just a different department to me. Like, it's just, I don't, maybe it's not fair, but I feel like it's a different situation.
Same. Yeah, I mean, I think both of those guys could be easily re-signed. You know, it's not like that. Either one of them would be restrictive or prohibitive to doing even more moves than that if you wanted to, if you really want to bring everybody back and run everyone back. It seems like they're hesitant to run these two guys back for one reason or another. With Judon, it's a little more puzzling. I think we all agree with that. Mayo talked about what Judon said yesterday, and Judon yesterday said a lot. I mean, he had a little scrum, and he said, I don't really want to play under this number. I think I deserve more than this, but, you know, I signed the contract. I don't want to get traded. And he spoke candidly and sort of honestly. It was kind of, you know, for Patriots fans, you don't usually hear guys talk like that. And not just Patriots fans. I feel like most NFL teams, you don't hear players talking like this. Like, this is all, like, everyone's like, oh, this never would have happened with Belichick around. It's like, I don't think this would have happened if Josh McDaniels was the coach or, like, you know, any other number of people. I just feel like Gerard Mayo's letting him say whatever, and he kind of reinforced that with his comments on Mayo, on Judon, actually. Listen to this.
Do you worry at all about his concerns or his disgruntled nature, if that's a way to describe it right now, might impact others on the team?
You know, we have a great relationship, but I hate that you use the word disgruntled, because I would say he's out here working every day. His attitude is great in the classroom. His attitude is great on the field. And you guys see him flying around here. Obviously, there is a business component to this sport, and he understands that. You know, we want him here. He's a very good player for us, and he does everything that we want him to do. So hopefully it works out.
Does it undermine anyone's authority? For both you and Elliott are in new positions right now, and he seems to be very open to that. We're just not used to that.
Look, I'm good with it. I don't want to put a cap on, you know, if the guy feels a certain type of way, he has that privilege to come out here and tell you guys how he feels. I have to respect it no matter what. At some point in time, there's going to be a player that comes up here and says, you know what, I hate Coach Gerard, or I hate Mayo. And look, that's how they feel, and I respect that. And, you know, I know we want to keep as much stuff, you know, in-house, But there will be times where they come out here and express themselves, and I think it's good. Look, they listen to the interview here, and I listen to their interviews as well. Like, I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to the players, really, and that's how I think about it. So, you know, as the season continues to progress, I want the relationship with the media from the coach's perspective and also from the player's perspective to be a good relationship. And I'm not saying to write all the positive articles. Like, you write your opinion. That's what you pay
for. Don't worry, Drew.
Okay.
You don't have to tell them twice.
Don't worry about that.
Two things that I took from that. Mm-hmm. One being, what player is going to get up there and do that? I would very
what
much look forward to that
ever
press
gone
conference.
Up in front of a press conference and said, I hate coach whoever?
They
what
hate
is that?
Their coach.
I mean, really? Like, that's.
Well, let somebody else say it for them, but they're not going to get up there and go, hey, okay, so what did you see on this play, Jabril? Well, what I saw is that I hate my coach.
Yeah, I hate Mayo. Mayo's
I hate
like,
Mayo.
That was not the question, but okay. And he's like, I'm sure some yeah. player's going to come up and say that. You're sure a player's going to say that? Really? Like, that's weird. It's not super.
Yeah,
right?
But
why wouldn't they be
setting
saying
weird
else?
Expectations for the press conferences going forward? The second thing I would say really quickly is I don't think that Mayo will be okay with that. If they're at a point in this season when they're in a miserable record, let's say that they're, I don't know, 2-10, and they're sitting there and players are going up there and they're being as transparent as Judon was about his contract situation, mm-hmm. but about what's going on in the locker room, the dynamics of the
team,
what they think of the positional coaches.
I hate Coach
coaches.
Mayo.
That I don't think that any head coach in the NFL would be okay with, even if they're setting up a player lounge with PlayStation and starting practices at 11. I don't think any coach would sit there and go, well, you know, we're just working stuff out, and I'm ready. I've prepared myself for this.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think Mayo's really – he's picked a lane. His lane is I'm going to be the player-friendly coach. I'm going to have these guys. We're all going to be friends. You know, they're going to like me and respect me. I'll respect them, treat them like men, whatever they want. You know, like this is how I'm going to play this. This is how I'm going to start my career as a head coach. But I hear that. I'm sure people are going to come up and say, I hate Coach Mayo, and I think that's fine. Like, that's going way over in the
yeah,
other direction.
Yeah, he can't
like,
believe
it's
that.
It's overcompensating.
I think,
you know,
he's like, trying to send a message, and he says he's talking to the players through
exactly,
the media.
Exactly.
And I get that, but at the same time, it's like, and I want him to do really well, and I'm nervous about this season. But I hear that, and I go, Mayo is still getting in front of the mic and saying what he thinks everybody wants to hear from him.
Yeah.
And it feels very much like he's being a people pleaser and a player pleaser and being the right. press pleaser. And he wants to be, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he wants to appeal to everyone mm-hmm. all the time. And at some point it's got to be like, hey man, like there's going to be some tough moments where you're probably going to snap on a reporter and you're going to snap on a player.
Yeah. That's where I was actually going to go where he said, I'm talking to the players through you all, through the media. And I just believe he's trying to establish a culture there of, you know, hey, what you guys feel, what you guys think matters to me. And we know there's a long history here of that not being the case. I also think, remember, you always kind of tend to go to the opposite of what you had before, right? And we understand Gerard Mayo is essentially a disciple of Bill Belichick.
Right.
But what I mean by this is Bill Belichick was rough around the edges with the media, to say the least. But players will always tell you, yeah, he was a tough guy, but he did love us up too. He did show personality. Bill was a funny guy. There were sides to Bill that you all didn't see. I wonder if this is the opposite. I wonder if Gerard Mayo with the media, because I agree with Mego, it still feels like very much I'm trying to prove myself to you all, as in us, in the media. It's like, bro, you don't have to do that. You got the gig. This is your show. But behind the scenes, as we get into the season, maybe he will be a hard O on the players. Maybe the players will see what we don't see out of Gerard Mayo, especially in the instance that this team struggles this year, which we all think is likely, right? So maybe behind the scenes, he is in guys' faces. He is hard on dudes. He is cussing guys out. We'll see if we hear those type of reports. But it is interesting to me that he is going that route in terms of with the media. And I just think a lot of it is being green. I do. I think this is learning on the job. This is what it is. This is what it looks like. Just like we were talking earlier about the extension with Peppers, and he's like, oh yeah, I can confirm that. I'm the coach. Like, I think he's still working out.
Yeah.
Being the new guy on the gig.
That's me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is me.
Right.
I can confirm.
With Belichick, I can confirm it. I'm the head coach. I can confirm it. All right,
that's me. I'm the head coach. With Belichick, the players, like, had to earn his respect. I feel like with Mayo, you're just the player, so he respects you, and he's going to pay you. He's going to get whatever you want, and you're going to get to play video games in the lounge. Here's Jerod Mayo talking about the new lounge.
You have a player's lounge in there, pool table, some games. Obviously, you came up in an environment when you're here to work and work only. What was the reasoning behind that change for you?
You know, to me, it's this is their place, and that's their lounge, and that's their locker room. I think it's important that you have those spaces. One thing I've noticed over the past, let's say, 5 years is a lot of times when guys get a break, they just go into their locker and they get on their phone, they're scrolling through social media, and there's really no interaction. And I thought it was important, we thought it was important that those guys had a safe space to go. And really, like, that's also a time where they build camaraderie. You should see some of the ping pong games in there, or even the PlayStation. You know, we have a PlayStation and Xbox in there as well. But it's really to, like, bring these guys closer together and have those guys want to be here. These days can be long, but we just thought it would be important for those guys to have that space.
It's called ping pong. Ever heard of it? You should see the ping pong games going on there. Like, okay. All right. Well, hey, you sold me there, Jerod. You got the ping pong going. I don't have any problem with there being a lounge. I'm sure most teams in the NFL have some sort of player lounge or something where they all go after practice. That doesn't seem like anything revolutionary. But again, for the Patriots, it's probably something that Mayo, when he was a player here, thought, you know, like, every other team has something like this. Why don't we? And I guess just it's sort of, to me, sort of the line here is between, okay, what are we doing that's like everybody else? And then what are we doing that's trying to set us apart from even that? Like, now all of a sudden we're bending over backwards to placate all these guys who won 4 games last year and make them feel like they're, you know, the kings of the world. I feel like there's got to be some sort of balance there.
It's a nice idea. It doesn't matter. It's a nice idea that you're going to get the guys together and they're going to spend more time around the facility and hang out, and maybe friendships will grow and blossom over that in different positional groups. When you work for a crappy company and they give you Pizza Fridays, nobody gives a crap about the Pizza Fridays. Like, they don't want to be there because your company sucks. You know, like, we've all been at that kind of workplace where you're like, this is toxic and I hate it and I want to get out. And if that's the situation that the Patriots find themselves in as a football team, nobody's going to be in that lounge. Guys are going to be like, okay, I'm done with my treatment. I'm getting out of here, you know?
Right.
And so it's a nice idea. I don't think it shows that he's too soft to the coach. I just don't think it really matters.
Preaching.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go to the phones. Paul is in Rhode Island. He has a thought on Matthew Judon. Hi, Paul.
My man, how you doing, Pastor?
How you doing?
What's How you up? Doing, Travis? How you doing, Mago?
Good, good.
What Hello, up? Paul.
What's up? What's up? Listen, what a great day we had today. I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, we have to sign this guy because he needs, Mayo needs him. He doesn't need Mayo. He can make his money any team in, under 500, okay, in the NFL. But you have to understand that the chemistry that he lays out in that locker room is very important for a young coach and his that administration. Wolf is not stupid. He is not stupid. He's just trying to sign the younger guys that will take you 4 years into the program, or 3 years. And you guess what? You have a quarterback like Mayo, like May, that's going to be a quarterback for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. You have a backup quarterback like Bazooka Joe, okay? And you have an experienced quarterback like Jacoby. It's right. All about experience. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks for the call, Paul.
Thank you for listening.
Let me just say this. This better be the happiest GD locker room in the history of the NFL. Because not only are they all getting big extensions here, the coaching staff and everybody is bending over backwards to make sure they're comfortable and they have a safe space and this, that, whatever, and all this other stuff that they maybe weren't getting with Belichick, but they were winning when they were, for the most part, for those 20 years. These guys better be happy as hell all year. I don't want to hear anything. Like, honestly.
You don't want to hear I hate Coach Mayo?
I do not. I don't want to hear any discontent. This is better, right? Like, if this is the new generation of athlete we're talking about here, and you're talking about, connecting with these younger players. If this isn't connecting, then what are you supposed to do?
This will be the happiest 4-13 team you have ever seen, ever. the GOAT of happy 4-13.
Isn't
baby.
That what we're all afraid of, though? That they're just going to keep sucking, but they'll be very happy they'll with be themselves so happy. And pleased with themselves?
Hey, you know, we're trying hard, guys. We are giving it our all right?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting situation here as the Patriots now go into the Gerard Mayo era. I wanted to talk a little bit about the offense, which seems to be struggling a bit. Not Gerard Mayo. Drake May spoke today and talked about his day throwing. He had more throws than Jacoby Brissett did. We know that. And that could be something that that you can read into. But first, let's go back to the phones. Jamal is in the car. He has a thought on Gerard Mayo and the press. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First of all, I'd just like to say congratulations to Mrs. Adelini Hu on your
congratulations,
marriage.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
And she only fell down once.
It's true. I'll tell that story after.
One time, yeah.
Yeah. I had a big trip.
Definitely.
That's all. Really, when you get married, all you have to do is remember to say I do and not trip. And she got one of those two. So she got one of those two right. Hey, congratulations. Someone just got married out on Lansdowne Street. I don't know if maybe right out here in front of the studio.
She anyway, did not fall down either.
She did not. No, go ahead, Jamal. Sorry.
No problem. Well, first of all, I just was calling to say that I think it's pretty funny that Gerard Mayo is the way he's acting. I just keep thinking of like what Bill would say. What would Bill say in this situation? Like when we start losing eventually, I could just picture him with that little bat that they were talking about before, and he's tapping right. it on the podium, and everyone's scared to ask him a question because he's going to give a smart answer.
He's dragging the bat around like Negan in The Walking
Dead. I already forgot that story. Remember that story? Dumb story about how at the end of last year he's going into meetings and he's not taking stuff seriously because he's got a little bat that he's twirling around?
Swinging it around.
Come on.
I mean.
That was nonsensical.
I didn't think that made him look great, honestly.
I thought it was a stupid detail.
You're in a meeting. You're standing there working on your
bat. Yeah, but it's not like he's at Optum.
What are you, Al Capone? Like, come on.
It's not like he was walking in with like a sledgehammer.
It's pretty weird, I thought. That was just like, sort of a weird thing. But also, at that point, I think Mayo knew, you're out of here soon, and I'm going to be taking over this whole thing, and you know what? I don't really have to be all that engaged. I could be sitting here doing this. I know what's going on for me. I don't, you know, this season's a lost cause, which it was, and maybe that's just the way he was treating it. I wonder if now when he's in charge and the things start to go awry, which, I mean, we all believe they're going to, right? We all believe that Gerard Mayo is going to face real adversity in this first
round. Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's going
to
be...
Not from ownership, but from the fan base,
playing,
probably from his own locker room to some extent.
You don't think so?
You don't think so?
I do think so, but I will also acknowledge, in this league, if this kid, Drake May, ends up the rest of this camp stealing the show... preseason, showing enough flashes where they say, you know what, we're just going to roll with them week one. And this kid is a baller. And I'm talking about a baller, mm-hmm. bona fide. We're saying CJ Stroud level output from Drake May. Everything changes. And I just think we all need to be a little careful with, because I'm one of them. I mean, I just made a joke. This will be the happiest 4-13 we've ever seen. But like, we do need to seriously consider. If Drake May, if we got one of them ones, and everyone around here knows what it looks like, we got one here for a long time that came in the sixth round. So if you get one of those ones, everything changes. The offense, we think, stinks. We don't think there's a number one receiver. We don't think the offensive line is going to be any good. You know what a great quarterback does in this league, no matter if it's a rookie or a vet? They put a Band-Aid over every single wound on your roster. And one thing we know the defense should be up to the task. We assume Gerard Mayo, my God, defensively, don't have this defense regress at least. So let's give him benefit of the doubt there. And if Drake May can play, hey, we could see the flip side to this coin that we're not really talking about.
We could. The offense so far, according to reports, I haven't been down there. I've only seen videos and people tweeting about it. Offense seems to be struggling a little bit, implementing a lot of new stuff and really going at a slower pace. Gerard Mayo spoke on that. We'll hear what he had to say and ask the question, will this offense ever catch up with the defense next?
How young? So young. We're young at heart. We're TikToking. We're FaceTiming. We're doing all that cool stuff. Gather around the radio, fellow kids. It's Jones and Mego with Arcand. I get the Spice Channel. No biggie. Come over. On WEEI.
I know a lot of times, you know, everyone wants to see everyone get better every day. But remember, it's just not a straight shot to being a good football team. It's a process, which we have been preaching for a long time. One thing I will say is, and this has been... you know, historically, the defense will always be ahead of the offense. The defense will always be ahead of the offense. Now, the offense, obviously, they're still gelling together. And we have a lot of guys on defense that already know the scheme. So, you know, it's hard to jump to conclusions. You know, are these guys going to be good? Are they bad? Like, I don't know, and I don't think you guys know either. I don't even think, you know, the coaches out there know. But one thing I will say, it's about competition, and it's about getting better each and every day, not only on the field, but also off the field.
Mayo, and that one I thought was the quote of the day, personally. Defense is going to always be ahead of the offense. It's not a straight line. We want to get better, but it's a process. To say, when he said the defense will always be ahead of the offense, when he said that, I was like, oh, okay.
I went, is he talking about this season?
I think right. So.
Is he talking about in his
forever
tenure yeah. as head coach?
I think
because
he meant
he's a defensive coach, so he's always going to have a better defense and a better offense.
That's sort of how I took it, but also because the defense is not being rebuilt from scratch,
right?
New everything and all that, you know.
Nobody expects the offense to be better than the defense,
right?
Including Jerod Mayo,
maybe ever.
That being said, the defense better be good. Like, it better yes. be a good, I'm saying, like, top 10 defense with
agreed.
All this talk, with all this investment and all this talk and sort of, you know, this is going to be the foundation of the team.
Yeah.
It was the foundation of the team last year with Belichick here, and it was worth 4 wins, whatever that defense gave you.
They were injured, I mean, too. It. They had injuries.
They did have some injuries, yeah. sure. One of the guys who was injured is maybe not going to play this year. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I understand what you mean, and losing Gonzalez was a big loss for sure.
Yeah.
Are we
the
making
offense,
too big? Sorry, really quick. Are we making too big of a thing out of Gonzalez? I feel like Gonzalez gave yeah. one media availability, and everybody was like, oh, he's going to be a top 3 cornerback. Or if he's not a top 3 cornerback, he's going to be a top 5 cornerback. I'm like, the guy's played 3.5 games.
Well, he looked good for what we saw. Obviously, mm-hmm. it was a small sample size, and he was highly touted coming out of college. It's just a matter of health, right? If he's healthy, I'm willing to buy into that.
I expect him to be above average to very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm considering him, and it could be bad. I mean, who knows?
You sure.
didn't play very much. Maybe the injury's lingering. Who the hell knows? But just based on what we saw last year, yes, I think it's fair
yes.
to expect that he'll be an above average corner in the NFL, which is something. I mean, there's a lot of value
yes.
in just having an above average corner out there with guys like Jonathan Jones and some of the other guys that
That's
you
right.
have. He's expected to be more than that. I mean, you don't pick a guy in the first round just expecting him to be above average. You want him to be your number one guy. And he was playing that way last year. But you have to assume, okay, there's going to be, you know, the re-entry, the whole getting back into the flow of things. And we don't know if he would have been good all year long. Matthew Judon has never been good all year long for this team. He's never had a beginning-to-end great season for the Patriots. And that's, you know, part of maybe why he's getting his balls busted at the negotiation table right now. But all that to say this. Is the offense ever going to catch up to the defense this year? Like, is that something that's even realistic? Or have they kind of just acknowledged the fact that, no, this is still a very much a work in progress, and as good as the defense gets, we're not expecting the offense to ever match it this year?
Well, if we expect the defense to be a top 10 defense, then absolutely not.
Definitely
with the offense.
Not.
I'm sorry. Like, I would love for it to be a Houston Texans situation. Mm-hmm. If that's really what you're banking on, then you should go out to San Francisco and give them anything that's not nailed down to get Trent Williams out here. You know, like, and actually have something on your line if you think that that's how you're going to be playing and that Drake May is that Band-Aid, that eraser that changes everything in your offense. I just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, I don't think you need it to catch up. You just need it to not suck like last season. Like, be competent. Can you be a competent offense? And I wish he had kind of went there. You know, listen, like, I understand where he was coming from, but some of these answers – I just wish there was a little bit more coach speak in the sense that I do appreciate Jerod Mayo's transparency, especially in the face of what we've had around here for so long.
You know, I think every day is a big day for everybody.
Exactly. But listen, bro, try to give props to your defense, which he did, but also say, hey, you know, instead of saying the offense is never going to catch up to the defense, ha ha ha, how about we just need our offense to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time because we believe this defense can be special. And if they can do that, we have a shot to be something special around here. I just don't like – this is why – this is another conversation for another show, I'm sure, with you two. But I am anti-hiring defensive minded head coaches.
I didn't want that either. I would rather they went and got some offensive, innovative offensive mind. I thought that would have been a nice. You want to talk about being different from Belichick?
Yes.
I mean, how much more different could that have been?
Yes. And in a league where it's increasingly more about quarterbacks and head coaches and offensive mindedness, I just didn't love the Gerard Mayo. And to your point, we're going to move off of Bill Belichick and go with a guy who loves Bill Belichick and Belichick loves him and literally is a disciple. Okay. Well, these are the kind of answers you're going to get. It's like defense over everything. We're going to run the ball and play defense. Oh, yeah, that worked in 1998, bro. This is 2004. Like, you have to have an offense.
2024.
It's what are we doing? Like, you have to have a competent offense, if nothing else. And comments of the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense is troubling.
Doug Kide had the stats for both quarterbacks today, and they are as follows. He tweeted this about 3 hours ago. Jacoby Brissett was 14 of 19 overall. In 11-on-11s, he was 5 of 7. Drake May, 17 of 23 overall, 8 of 11 in 11-on-11s with an interception. And he said something about the interception. I forget exactly what it was, but he kind of brushed it off like, hey, no big deal. This is why you have practice, so you get stuff like this out of your system. It was a good answer for a rookie, I thought. You know, I mean, I don't know how Mac Jones would answer the question. He probably would have denied that the interception ever got thrown and just completely changed the subject, as he was wont to do. But yeah, it seems like May is confident enough in himself and his standing on the team that he's not going to let something like that be a big burden. And just sort of with his personality, it doesn't seem like he gets too hung up on that type of stuff, which I think is a good thing when you're starting a new offense with a young quarterback. It's good to have a guy who's not constantly in his own head all the time like Mac Jones seemed to be. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Scott, who is down in Westerly. Go ahead, Scott.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Hi, Scott. Thank you.
I was going to say offense, defense. And Mayo's doing a good job. He's learning how to deal with the media. But defense is inherently 10 times easier than an offensive system is, because of all the calls they make, the quarterback, the running back's got to know. It just is. They still have a lot of calls, but defense is always going to be easier. So they're always going to be ahead of the offense.
Yeah, I think also it has to do with the fact that he was a linebacker's coach and has really only coached defense and played defense and is a defensive person in football. I mean, that's, you know, that has a lot to do with it too, Scott, I would say. But I agree with your point. I mean, it is easier to do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that your defense is always going to be better than your offense. Like, the Dolphins have a much better offense than their defense. Many teams in the league now, I think, have sort of shifted that way. Even if they want to try and have balance, you skew towards offense. I just feel like that's the way the league's going. Right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought he was still on the line. I don't have.
No. I hung.
No. Here's I think what he's trying to say without saying it, Gerard Mayo, aside from obviously defense being where he's comfortable, where he played and where he coached before being a head coach, is that there is no foundation for the offense. There's a new offensive coordinator in here who hasn't called plays before. Your foundation is basically David Andrews, Ramondre Stevenson, and Hunter Henry. That's the foundation of your offense. And none of those guys are all pro guys. None of those guys are anybody that I think will make the NFL top 100 list that they're doing right now. And other than that, it's just a complete, you got guys like Kendrick Bourne who are coming off a major injury and starting the year that way. You have really young guys who you have no idea when they're going to play or how they're going to play. Like, there's just no foundation. So I feel like it's fair to say probably the entire season the offense is going to be a mile behind the defense.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will revisit our big Q at 2. Are you confident that the Boston Red Sox, who are about to open up a three-game weekend series here with the detestable New York Yankees and their detestable fans?
You heard us.
We can hear you. We see you. We can smell these Yankee fans before we see them. But they are starting that up tonight right here at Fenway Park. Both teams in need of a real boost, and the Red Sox trying to do that at the trade deadline, as are the Yankees. How confident are you, Red Sox Nation, that they are going to add at this deadline, and who do you want? We'll get into that next.
How young? So young. We're young at heart. We're TikToking. We're FaceTiming. We're doing all that cool stuff. Gather around the radio, fellow kids. It's Jones and Mego with Arcand. I get the Spice Channel. No biggie. Come over. On WEEI.
I know a lot of times, you know, everyone wants to see everyone get better every day. But remember, it's just not a straight shot to being a good football team. It's a process, which we have been preaching for a long time. One thing I will say is, and this has been, you know, historically, the defense will always be ahead of the offense. The defense will always be ahead of the offense. Now, the offense, obviously, they're still gelling together. And we have a lot of guys on defense that already know the scheme. So, you know, it's hard to jump to conclusions. You know, are these guys going to be good? Are they bad? Like, I don't know, and I don't think you guys know either. I don't even think, you know, the coaches out there know. But one thing I will say, it's about competition, and it's about getting better each and every day, not only on the field, but also off the field.
Mayo, and that one I thought was the quote of the day, personally. Defense is going to always be ahead of the offense. It's not a straight line. We want to get better, but it's a process. To say, when he said the defense will always be ahead of the offense, when he said that, I was like, oh, okay.
I went, is he talking about this season?
I think so.
Is he talking about in his
forever
tenure yeah. as head coach?
I think he meant he's
a defensive coach, so he's always gonna have a better defense and a better offense.
That's sort of how I took it, but also because the defense is not being rebuilt from scratch,
right?
New everything and all that, you know.
Nobody expects the offense to be better than the defense,
right?
Including Jerod Mayo,
maybe ever. That being said, the defense better be good. Like, it better be a good, I'm saying, like, top 10 defense with
Agreed.
All this talk, with all this investment and all this talk and sort of, you know, this is going to be the foundation of the team.
Yeah.
It was the foundation of the team last year with Belichick here, and it was worth 4 wins, whatever that defense gave you.
They were injured, too. They had injuries.
They did have some injuries, sure. One of the guys who was injured is maybe not going to play this year. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I understand what you mean. And losing Gonzalez was a big loss for sure.
Yeah.
Are we making too big of a thing out of Gonzalez? I feel like Gonzalez gave one media availability, and everybody was like, oh, he's going to be a top 3 cornerback. Or if he's not a top 3 cornerback, he's going to be a top 5 cornerback. And like, the guy's played 3.5 games.
Well, he looked good for what we saw. Obviously, it was a small sample size, and he was highly touted coming out of college. It's just a matter of health, right? If he's healthy, I'm willing to buy into that.
I expect him to be above average to very good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm considering him, and it could be bad. I mean, who knows?
You sure.
didn't play very much. Maybe the injury's lingering. Who the hell knows? But just based on what we saw last year, yes, I think it's fair to expect that he'll be an above average corner in the NFL, which is something. I mean, there's a lot of value in just having an above average corner out there with guys like Jonathan Jones and some of the other guys that have. He's expected to be more than that. I mean, you don't pick a guy in the first round just expecting him to be above average. You want him to be your number one guy. And he was playing that way last year. But you have to assume, okay, there's going to be, you know, the re-entry, the whole getting back into the flow of things. And we don't know if he would have been good all year long. Matthew Judon has never been good all year long for this team. He's never had a beginning-to-end great season for the Patriots. And that's, you know, part of maybe why he's getting his balls busted at the negotiation table right now. But all that to say this. Is the offense ever going to catch up to the defense this year? Like, is that something that's even realistic? Or have they kind of just acknowledged the fact that, no, this is still a very much a work in progress. And as good as the defense gets, we're not expecting the offense to ever match it this year.
Well, if we expect the defense to be a top 10 defense, then absolutely not.
Definitely
with the offense.
Not.
I'm sorry. Like, I would love for it to be a Houston Texans situation. If that's really what you're banking on, then you should go out to San Francisco and give them anything that's not nailed down to get Trent Williams out here. You know, like, and actually have something on your line if you think that that's how you're going to be playing and that Drake May is that Band-Aid, that eraser that changes everything in your offense. I just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, I don't think you need it to catch up. You just need it to not suck like last season. Like, be competent. Can you be a competent offense? And I wish he had kind of went there. You know, listen, like, I understand where he was coming from, but some of these answers – I just wish there was a little bit more coach speak in the sense that I do appreciate Jerod Mayo's transparency, especially in the face of what we've had around here for so long.
You know, I think every day is a big day for everybody.
Exactly. But listen, bro, try to give props to your defense, which he did, but also say, hey, you know, instead of saying the offense is never going to catch up to the defense, ha ha ha. how about we just need our offense to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time because we believe this defense can be special, and if they can do that, we have a shot to be something special around here. I just don't like – this is why – this is another conversation for another show, I'm sure, with you two, but I am anti-hiring defensive – minded head coaches.
I didn't want that either. I would rather they went and got some innovative offensive mind. I thought that would have been a nice. You want to talk about being different from Belichick?
Yes.
I mean, how much more different could that have been?
Yes. And in a league where it's increasingly more about quarterbacks and head coaches and offensive mindedness, I just didn't love the Jerod Mayo. And to your point, we're going to move off of Bill Belichick and go with a guy who loves Bill Belichick and Belichick loves him and literally is a disciple. Okay. Well, these are the kind of answers you're going to get. It's like defense over everything. We're going to run the ball and play defense. Oh, yeah, that worked in 1998, bro. This is 2004. Like, you have to have an offense.
2024.
It's what are we doing? Like, yeah. You have to have a competent offense, if nothing else. And comments of the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense is troubling.
Doug Kide had the stats for both quarterbacks today, and they are as follows. He tweeted this about 3 hours ago. Jacoby Brissett was 14 of 19 overall. In 11 on 11s, he was 5 of 7. Drake May, 17 of 23 overall, 8 of 11 in 11 on 11s with an interception. And he said something about the interception. I forget exactly what it was, but he kind of brushed it off like, hey, no big deal. This is why you have practice, so you get stuff like this out of your system. It was a good answer for a rookie, I thought. You know, I mean, I don't know how Mac Jones would answer the question. He probably would have denied that the interception ever got thrown and just completely changed the subject, as he was wont to do. But yeah, it seems like May is confident enough in himself and his standing on the team that he's not going to let something like that be a big burden. And just sort of with his personality, it doesn't seem like he gets too hung up on that type of stuff, which I think is a good thing when you're starting a new offense with a young quarterback. It's good to have a guy who's not constantly in his own head all the time like Mac Jones seemed to be. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Scott, who is down in Westerly. Go ahead, Scott.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Hi, Scott. Thank you.
I was going to say offense, defense. And Mayo's doing a good job. He's learning how to deal with the media. But defense is inherently 10 times easier than an offensive system is. Because of all the calls they make, the quarterback, the running back's got to know. It's just is. They still have a lot of calls, mm-hmm. but defense is always going to be easier. So they're always going to be ahead of the offense.
Yeah, I think also it has to do with the fact that he was a linebacker's coach and has really only coached defense and played defense and is a defensive person in football. I mean, that's, you know, that has a lot to do with it too, Scott, I would say. But I agree with your point. I mean, it is easier to do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that your defense is always going to be better than your offense. Like, the Dolphins have a much better offense than their defense. Many teams in the league now, I think, have sort of shifted that way. Even if they want to try and have balance, you skew towards offense. I just feel like that's the way the league's going. Right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought he was still on the line. I don't have.
No. I hung.
No, here's a. I think what he's trying to say without saying it, Jerod Mayo, aside from obviously defense being where he's comfortable, where he played and where he coached before being a head coach, is that there is no foundation for the offense. Mm-hmm. Mm. There's a new offensive coordinator in here who hasn't called plays before. Your foundation is basically David Andrews, Ramondre Stevenson, and Hunter Henry. That's the foundation of your offense. And none of those guys are all pro guys. None of those guys are anybody that I think will make the NFL top 100 list that they're doing right now. And other than that, it's just a complete, you got guys like Kendrick Bourne who are coming off a major injury and starting the year that way. You have really young guys who you have no idea when they're going to play or how they're going to play. Like, there's just no foundation. So I feel like it's fair to say probably the entire season the offense is going to be a mile behind the defense.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will revisit our big Q at 2. Are you confident that the Boston Red Sox, who are about to open up a three-game weekend series here with the detestable New York Yankees and their detestable fans.
You heard us.
We can hear you. We see you. We can smell these Yankee fans before we see them. They are starting that up tonight right here at Fenway Park. Both teams in need of a real boost, and the Red Sox trying to do that at the trade deadline, as are the Yankees. How confident are you, Red Sox Nation, that they are going to add at this deadline, and who do you want? We'll get into that next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.